Previously on the Adventure Zone.
I'm playing a human fighter named Magnus Burnsides.
I love that.
I'm playing a wizard.
Okay.
His name is spelled T-A-A-K-O.
Are you naming your goddamn wizard Taco?
His name is Taco.
Daddy, what are you, you're a cleric, right?
I'm a dwarf cleric.
Okay.
Named Merle Highchurch.
Over drinks one night with Gundren Rockseeker, he has to offer you what he calls the last job you'll ever need to take. So he has asked the three of you to escort a supply wagon to the town of Phandalin.
Okay.
With a fighter escort named Barry Blue Jeans. they are two dead horses lying in the middle of the road.
Seems fine. Doesn't seem strange at all.
So you follow these drag marks down the trail to the mouth of a cave. From the back of the hallway that Travis just ran up very valiantly, you hear the telltale sound of rushing water.
Tits.
both of you get flushed in a torrent of water. Do we get him?
Answering Goblin Taco.
I got too horny from the killing, and I'm joking.
Oh, Jesus, not again.
Don't come in here. It's private.
What otherworldly horrors will the McElroys face this week? Let's find out together in the Adventure Zone.
So the three of you have regrouped at the mouth of this cave where Merle and Magnus just got flushed to. Taco, you just sauntered back to the mouth of the cave to rest up. I imagine you'll want to take a short rest to recover those precious HPs that you lost. Especially you, Merle, if my math is right, you're like...
One.
You're 1 year old.
I have one point, one life point.
So you guys are going to take a short rest, and the way that you do that is you roll your hit die, which should be on your character sheet somewhere. You basically spend a hit die to roll whatever your die is. It'll be a D6. Taco, I think you have a D6. You roll that.
I have a D10.
You have a D10. Oh, wow. Okay. So
I want to say it's because I'm a human or a warrior. It's one of those.
Okay. So you roll that. You add your constitution modifier, and that's how many hit points you get back.
I mean, I gained back 13, but I'm only down 3, so I guess I just go back up to...
Did you roll a critical 10?
I did.
Okay. Good work. Merle?
Interesting.
Should I be, like, documenting these things?
Yes.
I feel like you guys never believe you, me.
I'm just saying you've rolled extremely well. I can't see what you're doing, and you
rolled nothing but 20s
cheating.
Last time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm rolling into the cardboard box. I don't know if that helps.
All right.
I rolled an 8 plus 2 constitution, so I recovered 10.
Cool. And Taco, I don't think you've taken any damage, have you?
I have not taken any damage, so I'm just getting my grounding.
Just some R&R.
Are we not going to get the Taco voice this episode?
We actually got a lot of complaints about the Taco voice.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Really?
People said it was, like, really racist. And I don't know which race. It sounded like the kind of thing that would be racist.
Well, we'll see how the reaction
People are
is.
So elfish.
I'll probably go in and out of it. But I also wasn't. I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking to Griffin, which is like God. I'm like praying. And when I pray, I don't have an accent.
Is Taco there? Can we talk to Taco?
So you guys you're healthier. I don't know what you're... I'm not going to keep track of your HP, because honestly, I couldn't give a shit. But we'll just assume that you're right as rain.
Griffin, I have a question. Do we get, like, experience?
Yeah, I'm keeping track of that. Y'all are about halfway to level 2.
Sweet.
And you're going to get a lot of great stuff, and you're going to love it. And you're going to be better people. Because of it.
Delethoral.
So you guys get the impression that you probably shouldn't wait too long because they are going to notice that one goblin is missing. You watch him very lazily float down the river, super dead, by you. He's moving at a snail's pace.
That's
comically
like
comically slow. So you guys have recovered, and I'm assuming you want to make your way back into the cave. You can go back to town. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do. I say we
go join Taco up on that overpass, because that's going to put us at a higher elevation.
Okay, come both on. Of you... No, please say the thing that you're going to say.
Okay, let me say the thing. Come on up.
Why is that funny? Because of the racism?
It's not racism.
All right, Merle and Magnus, you guys can it would be an athletics check to just get up this rope. It'll be a very low check, though.
Okay, I rolled an 8.
Am I rolling an 8 again? What am I rolling, a 20?
You're rolling a 20. Whenever you do a skill check, it's always a 20.
Okay, and then I add to it what?
Your athletics bonus, which is on your sheet.
Okay, I rolled a 20 and a 4.
Oh my God.
24.
You hover, just like you were at the bottom of the thing, and then you were like at the top of the thing. And everyone got super scared, because that shouldn't happen like that. Travis, you rolled an 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got up there. You weren't as effortless. In fact, it took you 35 minutes to get up the rope. It was embarrassing. It was like the first episode of The Biggest Loser.
It was like gym class. Jesus. Everyone's at the bottom going, like, just give up.
You'll never do it. But you do make it to the top, and everyone's really proud of you.
Yay!
Not as proud as Dad, who just sort of displaced himself to the top of the
overpass. I was very proud of him.
Yeah, let's remember that.
So from
look around.
You have two directions. It's a bridge. From one direction, you hear the sound of rushing water, and that's about all that you can hear coming from that end. It's louder than the stream that's below. The stream, by the way, has actually started to dry up a little bit since the initial flood. And the water that you hear coming from one end sounds more like a waterfall or something along those lines. From the other end, you hear some low voices talking, the smell of roasting meats you might consider delicious.
Or you might consider our buddies.
Or you might consider friends.
Listen, Magnus doesn't judge.
So yeah, you have two directions.
I say we head towards the meat.
If there's one thing I know about Magnus, he loves a majestic waterfall.
If I'm the tiebreaker, I say we go investigate the meat, the smell, and the voices.
How do you want to do this?
Who's the sneakiest of us?
You see, if going down that sort of hallway, it stretches in about... it's a cave, not a man-made thing. But it goes in, the channel there goes in about 20 feet... and you see some light, some dim fire light coming from there, and you definitely hear.
I say whichever one of us has night vision, Taco or.
Oh yeah, I'll go. I think both of you
do, except for Magnus.
Nope, and I've also got stealth disadvantage. Clunk 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 clunk.
I'll go take a look.
I have stealth disadvantage too. What's your stealth?
Good. Very quiet.
Not bad.
Not bad, it says.
Plus two.
Plus two?
Taco, would you go investigate?
Gladly.
By him, so you're sending him up by himself while the two of you hang back on the bridge?
It'll be better by myself.
Because if we're trying to be stealthy, it's always better to have smaller numbers.
Okay, so if you're going to make a stealth check, I'm guessing just to move to the end of this channel and sort of peek around the corner to get an idea of what's going on in this room, you'll make a stealth check, and I will contest it. With a perception check.
Okay.
So we roll, and then whoever wins the contest.
So I'll roll a 19.
And 2 plus your stealth.
Oh, so 21.
Okay. You managed to soundly beat them.
Stealth.
You look around the corner into this room. You see a fairly large chamber that is sort of split into two sections. There's a sort of a ground level where... you see three gerblins, all sitting around a fireplace roasting the leg of something. It's bestial in nature. It's not like a dude, foot or something.
room that I'm in,
yeah.
Did you say it's spooky or beautiful? Beautiful.
If you were a gerblin, you would actually find it like a pretty chill den to like.
So is this like the break room?
It's the Gerblin break room.
There's some like OSHA posters up. Something like, make sure you wash your hands. It's cold and flu season.
Right. Danny's been microwaving mutton in here. Gross.
All right, what's the second? What's the second?
So then there's a sort of natural stone staircase leading up to an escarpment, a stage, about 10 feet off the ground. It's not an actual stage, but there is a second level aloft, if you will, in this room. And up there you see another goblin that's just sort of sitting around, rummaging through a crate. And next to him, almost on the edge of this stage, you see an unconscious human man.
Okay.
And the three goblins are talking to each other, dicking around. The goblin that's up on the stage is just sort of ignoring them and rummaging through this crate.
Do we have access to that stage? I mean, is there
there's a natural staircase that's leading up onto it? Yeah.
I have a question. Is the room, I'm trying to visualize, is the room such that if we were to interact with the goblins on one of the levels, the other ones would definitely be aware of what we're doing?
Oh, sure, yeah. They are not that far away.
Is it lit by anything but the campfire?
There's some torches on the wall. Fatty torches. You know those torches that are like, they have like fat that burns on the top of it?
No, okay. I got you.
So just to, how many goblins are
three on the floor.
Three on the floor.
One up with the captive.
Right.
Oh, what's the captive?
There's a sleeping human man.
Oh.
Now, is that on a level above us or below us?
What celebrity does he most resemble?
Good question.
He looks a lot like...
Say John Goodman.
John... Mm. No.
Say John Goodman.
Say John Stamos.
He looks a lot like Tom Arnold.
So John Goodman. Actually, that's the exact middle between John Stamos and John Goodman.
I see that's the median. That's the mean of John Goodman and John Stamos. So yeah, please don't make me describe any more shit in this room.
Okay,
great. Okay, I just want to know that you said we have access from where we are in that passageway to that stage area, right?
The passageway opens up onto the floor level. Then there is a slope that leads up onto the stage.
Okay, so I assume has Taco come back and relayed all this to us?
I mean, he would have to
Taco.
Yeah,
let Taco be Taco.
You guys, so whenever I am explaining a scene like this, where one of you has split off, the others, you guys need to understand that you don't possess this knowledge.
Gotcha.
Right. You can't rush in there and like blindly like throw a shot at a character that you don't know is there, but Taco does.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I'll wave them over.
Okay. They are going to... They're also going to need to make stealth checks.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right.
Putting a lot of faith in us here.
17 on mine.
Well, you have disadvantage, yeah. So you need to roll again and use the lower result.
Okay.
God.
11.
Okay.
10 was my lower.
Okay. You actually, all three managed to beat the... I'm using my original check, which was not so great. Okay. So you all three managed to beat it. The three of you are sort of on this, the precipice of this
now, okay,
room.
So since we have the drop on these guys right now, do we still have to roll for initiative?
So you do, but in a scenario like this, you can get what's called a surprise round, where when you can actually manage to do what you guys have done, which isn't easy, you get to take a round of combat. Everybody who has surprise gets to take a round of combat before the regular like combat order begins.
So here's what I would like to do.
Okay.
I have an idea. And I motion to Taco. I use intricate hand signals to relay that what I want to do is I want to rush in past the goblins on the floor to underneath the edge of this stage thing and see if I can get in position where he could mage hand the human off the edge and let me catch him.
I think Mage Hand can only interact with about 10 pounds. And
yes.
Tom Arnold, as you guys can probably intuit,
weighs
significantly. I don't want to call the dude overweight because it seems like he works really hard to maintain that.
And he did look good on Running Wild with Bear Grylls.
He looked amazing on Running Wild with Bear Grylls.
I have a slight amendment. I think Travis's plan is good, but how about if we attack the guys on the floor, giving him a chance to
My only worry is that if we don't eliminate the guy holding Tom Arnold prisoner, that he might do. I don't know what the situation is there.
Yeah, we got hostage.
I don't want him to take a shot at Tom Arnold or have Tom Arnold as a bargaining chip.
If I go first, if I attack and distract them, giving Travis a chance to get there in one move.
Why don't I just shoot the guy holding Tom Arnold prisoner with magic missile?
There you go. That works too.
How about I'm just going to shoot him with magic missile now?
All in all, I like all three parts of this plan. Taco, magic missile. Merle, guys on ground. I'm going to run up to the precipice.
Perfect.
Okay. I want the three of you to go ahead and roll initiative then, and we can get into it.
All right.
Mine is 11. 19.
Mine is 0.
You rolled a...
I rolled a 1 okay. With a minus 1 initiative.
Dad's like myself right after I graduated college.
Dad, what we don't know about Merle is he has narcolepsy. Just look back, and he's sleeping.
Okay.
Is Merle holding a bong? Is that a bong?
Merle, put down the burrito.
Top of the order is Magnus. What would you like to do?
So in this surprise round, I can wait and let the two of them go first and then do my action.
So if you do that, you are permanently moving yourself back in the order.
Oh, really? It's not just for the first round?
Right. There's an established order of play now. If you want to delay your turn, you can do that and pop it back in wherever it is, but then that's just where you are from that point on.
Okay, well, I guess since we're on a surprise and I'm not worried about them doing anything, I'm just going to run for the precipice.
But we have surprise. Why don't you move yourself back in the order, like he said, Trav, and let the two of us... do, you know, launch magic missile and let me attack the guys, and then you'll be able to...
If I can eliminate the magic missile, you may not have to worry about Tom.
Okay, fair. Yeah, I'm going to let Taka go first.
Okay.
So I do a very polite, like, after you gesture.
So who the fuck is going, and please do it.
I'm going. I'm using magic missile.
Okay. So you sweep around the corner and levy a shot. Magic missile, you don't actually need to attack with that, right? You're just burning a spell slot to use it?
I create 3 glowing darts. Each dart hits a creature of your choice within range that you can see. A dart deals 1d4 plus 1 force damage to his target.
Okay.
They all strike simultaneously, and I can direct them to hit one creature or several. I'm going to have them, all three of them, hit the fool holding Tom Arnold prisoner, because I don't fucking cotton to that.
Yeah. Okay.
You lay off of okay, Mr. So Stupid.
Listen, here's the amounts. 4, 2, 2.
All right, so 8 damage?
Yeah.
Okay. He is, consider him surprised.
Yeah.
He immediately stops what he's doing, clearly, because you just knocked him back a bit, and he rallies and gets up on his feet and yells something in Goblinish. You speak Goblin, right?
Yeah, Taco? What's he say?
He says, ow. So,
it's quite the wordsmith, our little Goblin.
So, who's next?
I'll go.
Well, wait a minute. That didn't kill him?
No. They're not dead.
But since I can't get up on the stage, I'm going to shoot him with my short bow.
Okay. All right.
So, same dude.
Okay.
Crit 20.
Holy shit. Really?
Yeah. I'm really good at D&D.
Yeah. Okay. Got those all 20 die sides.
So,
too.
On a crit, is our first crit attack, I believe. Uh-huh. You basically roll your damage dice twice.
Oh, terrific. But I don't get the automatic, like...
No.
Okay, great.
And you add your modifier. But you only do that once.
Okay, so I just need to... If it's 1d6 plus 2, I'm going to roll 1d6 twice.
Yeah.
So 3 and 6 plus 2, so 11.
11?
Yeah.
Okay, he falls over the edge and dies.
Yeah!
All right. I'm going after the guys on the floor. I'm going after the one on the left, the one that was eating off the haunch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it was on the spit. So
in he was reaching for it.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
was reaching for it.
Yeah,
greedy bastard.
He's got a powerful hunger.
Greedy bastard. And I'm going after him with my warhammer.
Okay.
So that's 17.
Okay. Yeah, that's a hit.
Okay, and then I roll for how much damage with an 8? Correct.
Whatever it says there on the sheet.
Well, I did 3.
Okay.
What happens, right. Griffin?
He is phased. He is not unfazed by that. He takes the hit and immediately sort of stands back up. And he's a little bit imposing now. Because know, this is, I think, the first time you haven't one-hit killed somebody. So you don't know what's going to happen next. One of you might be attacked. Wouldn't that be novel?
What?
Gee, I wonder who that's going to be. The guy that made him drop the haunch, maybe?
Maybe.
My haunch.
That's my best haunch.
I have so few pleasures in life.
That was my grandfather's haunch. He gave it to me.
We're moving back to the top of the order. It's actually the goblin's turn since Travis delayed. Three goblins. The one that actually did just take that hit is going to swing right back at you, Merle.
Yeah.
And they are going to roll fucking clown shoes. 9? Is that going to do it?
I have an armor class of 18.
So
no.
That's half of it, so clearly no. Okay, yeah, they their attack is buffeted away by your heavy hide. One of them is going to rush at Magnus and try and attack him. That is a 19 plus. That's a 23 to hit.
That's going to hit.
Ow.
And they do 4 plus 2. They do 6 slashing damage.
6 slashing damage, you say?
One of the other goblins is going to try and scurry up the wall towards Tom Arnold.
No.
A 15 plus their... What would that be?
I don't think you need to tell us these rolls. I think that kind of ruins the illusion.
Okay. He scurries up the wall towards Tom Arnold and grabs him by the scruff of the neck and hangs him over the edge of the stage and says, "Put your weapons down."
Damn it.
This goblin's actually...
But only I know that he said that, right?
He's actually speaking in common. So Ooh. The three of you can understand it.
Does he look like Common?
He looks exactly like Common. But
oh, that's a badass goblin right there.
He looks super cool. He says, "The three of you strike me as businessmen." Is that a fair assumption? He sounds like Kelsey Grammer, and he looks like Common. He's one hell of a goblin.
I love business.
I don't think anybody in this room wants to get stabbed any more than we already have. I have a proposition for you.
Okay. Hit us.
I will let you leave this cave with your berry blue jeans, alive and unharmed, if you do me one small favor.
What is it?
I want you to depose our current employer, whose name is Clarg. He says, I want you to help me help you help me.
What will it take to get you to murder my boss today?
I need you to murder Clarg for me. And I know you're wondering, what's in it for me? I've already told you this. It is Barry Blue Jeans. I will give you Barry Blue Jeans alive and well.
I asked the other two people in the group if they have any idea who Barry Blue Jeans is or care.
I'm almost certain he was What's-His-Face's buddy.
He was. That was the mercenary he hired.
Okay. Oh, right.
So he's a mercenary.
Now, excuse me, sir. Goblin, sir?
Yes.
What? Why?
I'm sorry. What is your name? I how rude of me.
Magnus Burnside's the Hammer.
Well, the now hold on.
I picked up a nickname since last week.
In this cave, you picked up a nickname in the cave.
No, I just remembered it from a long time ago. Flashback.
Fantastic. Yes. What
and what is your name, sir?
My name is
of course, not you.
Oh, sorry.
I know your name.
You can call Goblin, me. Sir. You can call me Yimik.
Yimik.
Yimik the Gerblin.
Yimik, why?
Yimik the.
Why do you want us to depose Clarg? Is it a power grab?
Let's call him a new hire, a transfer from
the Home Office.
The Home Office, yes. Let's just say that there are certain Gerblins in this institution who are not Clarg's biggest fan. And the other two goblins on the floor are like, yeah, fuck that guy. For real, though.
I have a question. I hate to interrupt.
Yes.
Is it far away?
Oh no, it's in this very cave, in a lofty antechamber.
Where were you educated, sir? You are very well spoken.
I went to Harvard.
That's excellent. Fucking patronizing.
Excellent. No, I'm respectful.
On the other side, we could continue this fight, and I will drop Barry Blue Jeans to his death.
I frankly see this as win-win for everyone.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Especially Barry. Especially Barry. It seems like you get what you want, and we'll get what we want.
You can see Barry Blue Jeans now, that he's sort of holding him over the edge. You can see him illuminated by the fire a little bit. And is he
alive?
He is breathing, but he's beat to shit. He is he looks real messed up.
I just don't see what we get out of this.
Well, it's what we were going to do anyways, right? We're going to take out the boss man
I thought we were just delivering something.
But we need Barry Blue Jeans to find out what happened to the other
two. Everyone needs a Barry Blue Jeans.
All right, I say we agree to his terms.
But first, before we agree to anything, I am going to need Barry Blue Jeans brought back over the edge. I need some indication that this is not a trap.
I'm not going to murder Barry Blue Jeans.
Pull him back from over the edge and we could talk about this.
And would he be of any use in our efforts against Clark?
Not at this point.
Oh, he's not in scrapping shape. Yeah, he's...
Well, then just leave him on the stage there and come on down and join us, big fella.
He rests him on the edge of the stage. He's no longer hanging over it, but he is right there. He could be kicked over fairly easily.
What happened to Barry's traveling companion?
I would know anything about that. I'm pretty sure he was alone, riding two horses, astride two horses. He's a mountain of a man, as you can tell.
Okay. All right. Now, Dungeon Master.
Yeah.
Do I need to heal Taco, or will we rest and he will naturally heal?
I'm not hurt.
No, I'm hurt. I'm good.
I meant Magnus.
No, I'll be fine.
It's up to you guys. If Magnus spent his hit dice, he probably doesn't have any more. I don't know. You could spend one of your spell slots to heal him if you want to do that.
What do you say, big fella? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Screw it.
Yeemaw? Meemaw? What was his name?
Meemaw.
Yeemick. May we rest by your fire and partake of some of this delicious-looking haunch before we move on to kill Clark.
No, I am going to need you to get this show on the road, as we say in Harvard.
I brought haunch helper.
What's in the box?
Stuff. Go fucking kill Clark.
All right, where do we go?
You can find him across the overpass. We had that overpass put in earlier this year in a little bit of cave renovation. It's quite nice, don't you think?
All right, fine, let's go.
I say we go back over the overpass into the other chamber where we heard the waterfall. Maybe we'll have an angle on him.
Sure, that's what we're talking about, right?
Selling it.
Okay. Goodbye, have fun. Have fun, bring me his head.
So when we get back on the overpass,
okay,
I'm going to turn to Taco and Merle and say, I don't trust this situation.
Yeah, no shit.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure we're
great
all on the
job,
same page.
Angela Lansbury. Don't know how you pieced that one together. He seems so nice. And he clumbered that one.
Is there some way for us to kill both Clark and this dude?
Oh, yeah, we're going to.
Yeah,
we're
killing everybody. Totally. I thought that was implied. Listen, I hope he'd hit level
soon
2
as,
by
soon
killing
as he
the
turns,
other guy.
As soon as Meemaw turns his back.
Yeemick!
Yeah, whatever.
Did he hear that?
We're going to snuff him.
It's Yeemick.
Okay, cool.
The voice of God just yelled
Stop
his name.
Talking about murdering me.
Listen, Magnus is about action, not planning.
Yeah.
So
you point me.
I am brute force. I am a blunt weapon. You point me in the direction.
Let's go in that other room and go kill
the direction of the waterfall. Go.
I'm a big boy. I need tempo. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the advertisements here on the Adventure Zone. I'd like to tell you about tempo.
And with us is special guest, J.K. Simmons. That's not my tempo.
Well, no, it's not my tempo. Like, have him say like that is my tempo.
Oh, that is my tempo.
Okay, now JK, make him say, you can now leave. Make him say, now make oh, him say wait, Griffin's, th- make him say Griffin's the best.
And Griffin's also the make best. Him, give me pictures stop. Of Spider-Man.
You didn't tell him to say that. That was you.
He's
doing
on the
voice.
Headphones.
Okay,
he's got his own cans. He brought them from home.
Okay,
he's a professional.
Why do you guys like this?
What do you
can
mean?
You just do a normal advertisement? Can you do like a normal, just do a normal ad?
Okay, so yeah, I'm a busy guy, and so is Travis. He knows J.K. Simmons. So when you're busy and you're on the go and you want to eat good food, but you only have like 2 minutes to heat it up, you can still have really yummy stuff thanks to Tempo. This is my Tempo. I'm talking about Tuscan bacon mushroom chicken.
Ooh.
I'm talking about five spice glazed chicken thighs.
Yeah, he is.
They got seafood options. They got chili shrimp rice bowl. They got so many stuff. They got protein pack stuff. They're always swapping around the menu, so you can always like try out new stuff, and it all tastes really good. And you can get it ready like really, really fast.
And even J.K. Simmons likes it. He's the pickiest eater I know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He has really specific tastes, and there is a special J.K. Simmons only menu on Tempo.
Yeah, I eat pictures of Spider-Man.
If you go to TempoMeals.com, you'll see an option that'll be like the special J.K. Simmons menu. When you click on it, it says, "Are you J.K. Simmons?" It's like a CAPTCHA, and like, "Are you J.K. Simmons?" And it tests you, and if it's not, then it'll be like, "Get the fuck out of here." Get the fuck out of here. This is for JK only, it says.
Wow. So for a limited time, Tempo is offering my listeners 60% off your first box. Go to TempoMeals.com/adventure. That's TempoMeals.com/adventure for 60% off your first box. TempoMeals.com/adventure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Guys, I got a mattress from Lisa, the luxury hybrid, and it is changing my life. First, I'm just going to tell you, first of all, it lays flat like this.
Yeah.
A lot of beds that I have had in the past are at a 45-degree angle or worse, Dracula style, 180.
Yeah.
So the Lisa mattress is flat, which we love. The next
that
thing,
is 180. I do just want to say that the flat is 180.
It's way longer than my body.
Okay.
A lot of beds, my head and feet dangle off of them like a child, like Will Ferrell in the film Elf.
Yeah,
the elf beds. This is not like that. This bed is bigger than my body, which is incredible.
Is it thin like a tissue?
No. It's comfortable like a million tissues.
Whoa.
Sorry, it says here, don't compare it to a million tissues. No, it's got aerated foam channels and an ultra breathable dual spring system. It's like sitting in between the balance of foam and spring. It's like living in the middle, in the mid space. It's the perfect balance. The in the shadow lands, and it can keep you cool. They got a chill hybrid too. If you want to go a little bit cooler,
like me,
advanced cooling, luxury quilt top. If you want, exactly.
I'm a chill hybrid.
Yeah,
you're a chill hybrid.
Yeah, half Travis, half electric.
Go to Lisa.com for 20% off mattresses, plus get an extra $50 off with promo code ADVENTURE, exclusive for our listeners. That's Leesa.com, promo code ADVENTURE for 20% off mattress, plus an extra $50 off. Support our show and let them know we sent you after checkout. Lisa.com, promo code ADVENTURE.
And check this out.
That's pretty good, Griffin.
Thanks.
Hey, a couple quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. To choose your own adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
You guys move across the overpass. You move through a large chamber. You are on a ledge fairly high up on this chamber, and you look down, and you can see two sort of man-made pools of water. That are basically built out of giant towers of logs that are sort of arranged into walls that are damming up where the waterfall is coming from, And then you see on the front of each pool, they are sort of back-to-back a gate. And you think that that gate is what was dropped and flooded the cave earlier.
Gotcha.
So you count your lucky stars that they didn't drop the second gate on you and flush you out again. You see a couple goblins down there, but they are sort of busy repairing the first gate that they dropped to flood you guys out, and they don't really see you. So you can continue on if you want, and unless you want to, like, jump down there and murder them too.
How far is it down there?
It's about 15 feet down.
Yeah. I'm good continuing on.
Yeah, let's just move on. I don't know.
You keep sort of creeping along the edge, and you come to the entrance of another chamber. You can't see especially far inside unless you get a little bit closer, but you hear a deep baritone voice shouting orders.
Does he sound rather Clargy?
He sounds Clarkish. He sounds like you don't want to cast aspersions, and you don't want to judge a book by its cover, but it sounds like the voice of a creature that would probably be known as Clark. You can only hear that because the other sound that you can hear is this deafening roar of this waterfall that is feeding this stream.
So we can see Clark?
The chamber is up a ways, up some ruined stairs that have seen better days. So if you're careful, and I'm assuming you're being careful, you can make out a few shapes. You see one figure that is absolutely massive, much, much, much bigger than the goblins that you have been experiencing in this cavern. And that is about the only shape that you can make out. There's a few sort of natural stone pillars in that room, but unless you climb up those stairs and get closer, you're not going to be able to see much. Clark is facing your direction. He just can't really make you out over this staircase.
Okay, listen, guys. Here's what I'm thinking. What if, rather than try to fight Clark, we see if we can trade the information that we have in exchange for Barry?
Like, tell him that...
Say, we know that he has someone in his organization trying to... who asks us to kill him. We'll let him in on that, but he has to promise to let Barry go with us.
I like that. Dungeon Master?
Yeah.
So geographically,
mm-hmm.
The very first room we encountered when we entered with the wolves chained up and there was a chimney?
Yeah.
Where would that chimney line up with the two rooms we've been in up here in the overpass?
It was on the right, and you were on the right side of the cave. So it's a logical assumption that maybe that chimney opens up into there.
Gotcha.
What do you I like Taco's idea, but I think we need to work from a position of strength. Why don't we do something that makes him think we're real, real badasses so he will think twice and maybe consider the offer? Like, could I use my the spell I used before to illuminate the axe, and to, you know, like, cast that spell on something to, like, as a visual?
You think this dude's never seen light before? Light spell?
But I mean, if something all of a sudden starts to glow.
That's what they teach kids. They teach kids light in kindergarten.
No, I think this is a good idea.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, and I'll cast at the same time. I'll use a cantrip. I'll use my abilities of prestidigitation. And I'll create a shower of sparks.
Okay.
And I'll build a chair with my carpentry tools.
Yeah, okay.
So I say you draw a bead on Big Boy with your short bow.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't think he's going to be threatened by us. We're level one.
He doesn't know that. That's why we're firing off the fireworks.
Griffin, you're not
going
to tell him, are you?
No. So are you guys doing this now?
Yes, we're doing it simultaneously.
The three of you walk Magnificent Seven style, shoulder to shoulder, into this room. Dad, you're shooting light beams all over the place like they're in a Daft Punk concert, and Justin's showering sparks all over the place, and Travis strikes
and
in.
And I'm calling out to him. I'm like, hello, friend.
No, don't call him friend.
No. No, other way.
Yo, fat ass.
Hey, stupid.
No. Somewhere in the middle.
Hey, jerk.
Okay. And Travis, you just sort of strike an imposing pose with your short bow drawn. And then from the left side of the cave next to the entrance you just walked through, a wolf charges and attacks Merle. So let's all roll initiative.
Okay.
Well, that went well. 19 again.
4.
14.
Okay.
Sounds like a lot of wolves.
Wolf number 16 is going to come.
So this wolf gets a surprise round on you.
Excelente.
Great.
He is attacking Merle, and he is going to try and bite at your neck region. He rolls a 7 plus 4. He rolls an 11.
You gonna I say have 18.
C? Not going to do it. You just kind of throw him off. Just using your neck muscles. It's amazing. You're like Terry Crews. You just sort of flex and the wolf goes flying. Okay. So that was the surprise round. Clark is like amazed by your pyrotechnics.
Whoa, he says. Clark is amazed by your power.
So he is John Goodman. All right, now we got John.
I'm
Goodman.
John Goodman.
You don't actually, you guys aren't entirely sure what he is. You've never seen anything like him. But he's not a goblin. He's definitely not a goblin.
Is he humanoid?
He is humanoid. He is furry. He's about 6.5 feet tall. He is muscle bound. He looks pretty badass.
Does he look like more muscly than me?
Nothing's more muscly than you.
Nobody's more muscly than you.
You're the most muscly boy, aren't you?
I mean, more than Magnus, not more than Travis McRae.
Is it my turn yet?
It is Magnus's turn. We're to the top of the order now.
Can you ask him to call off the wolves?
Can I roll a quick animal handling check to see if there's any possibility of like controlling the wolf, like befriending my animal friends?
You want to make an animal handling check to see if you can call off this wolf. Yeah, sure, go right ahead.
Or, I mean, I guess overall I should say...
Let me explain what's in the room. So you have this wolf that has just attacked you. There's a fire pit sort of in the middle of the room that's just sort of hot coals and embers that that Clark was sort of standing behind. And then in the corner you see this the entrance to that chimney that you walked by earlier with the wolves in it. And by that you see two more goblins.
Can I make a suggestion? We've already tried to establish ourselves as badasses. This wolf attacked us. Kill it, Magnus.
But I want a wolf, buddy. All right.
I love this. I love this narrative thread of you trying to befriend everything that tries to kill you.
Listen, I love animals.
Yeah.
Then I want to kind of do something badass if I'm going to take this wolf out.
What are you thinking about?
Can I double attack?
Not yet. Maybe someday.
Then I am going to...
You could try and pick him up and throw him under the fire pit.
Yeah, that one. Let's do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to hoist the wolf over my head and throw him in the fire.
Well, you will have to make a couple checks there.
Yeah, no, I'm good with that.
Dumb check. See if it's dumb to do.
I prefer action.
Let me make the dumb check. Oh man, it's a critical 20. Yeah. All right, so you will have to make a strength. We'll say a strength contest against this wolf. So this wolf is going to try and wriggle to try and get out of
gotcha.
Your grasp.
So this is just strength.
Yeah. Yeah. You. Oof. Yeah.
Okay. I got
a 20. Trav, was it a 20?
No, it was 15 plus 4, 19.
Oh, okay, one off.
So, yeah, you managed to hoist this wolf into the air.
Yeah. And now what do I have?
Throw him!
Okay, I'm going to throw him. I think that's a thrown attack.
Well, you were only a few feet from this fire pit, so you managed to toss this wolf into the fire. The wolf is going to try and land on his feet. He's going to make a dexterity saving throw. He does. He gets a 17. So he manages to he lands in the fire and he takes we'll say 1d4 point of damage. He takes 3 damage, and he's very perturbed, and it smells amazing in this room for a second.
And as a free action, I'm going to point at Clarg and yell, "Call him off.
You threw my wolf in the fire."
"And I'll do worse if you don't stop him."
"Ooh. But he's my favorite wolf, and you threw him in the fire, though."
"Then call him off or lose him forever."
"Ooh. Ooh. But he's my..."
"Just do it.
You threw him in the fire."
"He attacked my friend. I say where he..."
"I attacked your friend."
"Then you'll meet the same fate."
"You can't pick me up. I'm way bigger than the wolf was."
"And then I say, fellas, 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 we came here to talk."
"You should have thought about that before throwing my dog in the fire."
"Well, you shouldn't have had your dog jump at my ass."
"You got your ass in my dog.
You got your dog in my ass."
"I don't think my dog could fit in an ass."
"You haven't seen this ass."
"I have."
We've gotten off track.
Listen. He's not kidding around here.
The wolf
are we, I have a question. Are we allowed to talk if it's not our turn?
Yeah, sure. That's a free. It's a free action.
Like, we do free actions whenever, huh?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to silence you guys. If you want to crack wise, I'm not going to say shush. It's not your turn.
Okay.
Do you want to say something to Clarg?
You can chime in here if you want to.
Let me try. Please.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Is that good?
Okay, you've convinced me.
No, that's not what happens. Next in the order is the wolf. He's going to scurry out of the fire pit, and he's going to tackle. He's going to make a running attack at.
I just want to say, Travis, I wish you'd just tried your animal handling instead of attacking Magnus.
Or just killed it.
Yeah, I mean, this wolf was actually supposed to be your pet, but you.
This is perfect. Now we've got a flaming wolf. That's great. That's good. Now it's a wolf, but it's on fire.
He's more like a smoldering wolf.
The wolf jumps at Magnus. He got a 16 to attack.
My armor class is 17.
Oh, so he is unsuccessful. He's very sad. The two goblins are up next. They are each going to pull out short bows. One is going to fire at Magnus. One is going to fire at Taco. Magnus will do you first. 19 to AC.
Give me 1 second, sorry.
What happened?
Somebody was checking his fantasy football score.
I was. No, as a protection fighter, when a creature you can see attacks a target other than you that is within 5 feet of you, you can use your reaction to impose disadvantage on the attack roll. You must be wielding a shield. So I'm going to say there's disadvantage against the attack on Taco.
Okay, but this attack was on you.
Yeah, and that hit. That hit real good. 19?
Yeah. 19. 3 plus 2, 5 piercing damage.
So not great. Not great for me. I'm down to 2.
Okay. The other attack against Taco. So you're imposing disadvantage. How often can you do that?
As far as I know, whenever.
Okay.
There's no limit.
So the first attack is a crit. So good that you did that. The other attack is a 12. 12 versus AC?
It's equal.
So yeah, that's a hit. And they do...
But at least it wasn't a crit hit.
Yeah, that would have been pretty bad. They only rolled a 1 plus 2, 3 damage. 3 piercing damage to Taco. That is it for the goblins. Who rolled a 14 for initiative?
Magnus.
Nope.
No.
It was either Merle or Taco.
I had 14.
Okay,
great.
You're up. You got Clarg, you got 2 goblins over by the chimney, and you got a dog over by Magnus.
All right, I cast Charm Person on Clarg.
Okay, interesting. What do I do about that?
I will tell you.
You give Justin presents.
I'm going to attempt to charm a humanoid. You must make a wisdom saving throw. If it fails the saving throw, it is charmed by you until the spell ends or until you or your companions do anything harmful to it. The charmed creature regards you as a friendly acquaintance.
Okay.
Nice.
What do I have to save against?
Wisdom. Save against wisdom.
But there should be a number. There should be a number that you have that is my target to be.
Right. The saving throw DC to resist a spell you cast is 13.
Okay. And I'm making a wisdom saving throw. This guy has plus zero to wisdom, so I need to roll a 13 or better. I roll a 2. So consider Clark charmed.
Clark, how long does this last?
Until we attack him.
Okay.
Or no, sorry. It lasts an hour.
Okay.
Clark, call them off.
Call, sorry, who?
All the bat, call the wolves off.
Oh, sure. Hey, Percival, come back. Come to daddy. Percival scampers back to Clark's side.
Can we put him out
what?
First? Can we put him out since he was on fire?
Oh, he's not on fire. He's fine.
Okay, good. Clark, my name is Taco.
It's a pleasure. It's really super great to meet you.
I feel like we've known each other for ages, right?
I feel that way, too. Do you need any money or any... Can I give you all of the things I have?
There will be time for that. Listen, we have a sort of a situation we wanted to loop you in on.
Do you guys want to... You've been in my cave for a while now. Do you want to do some oolong?
No oolong for us, thanks. We don't have much time. Actually, about 59 minutes, if we were obsessed. So listen, we have a situation. One of your employees, Yahweh, told us that...
I don't think the Jewish God is under my employ.
I think it's Wee Meemaw.
Wait, Meemaw? Wee Man?
Wee Man, yes.
Wee Man. He told us... first off, he has our friend Barry Blue Jeans held captive.
You know Barry.
I did. Yes, I.
I thought we figured.
Water under the bridge.
Yeah, let's get past it.
Your friend wanted us to. I don't know. This is going to be hard to hear.
Are you sure you don't want any tea? I have a delicious Earl Grey.
58 minutes, Clark. Try to stay focused.
We're good. Okay.
He tried. He wanted us to, believe it or not. Kill? Well, you kill you.
That doesn't sound like... Are we talking about the same Yemek? There are... sorry, I think I understand what the problem is. I employ several Yemeks.
Clark, look at me. It's Taco. This is Taco talking. Would I lie to you?
Huh?
I guess I've known all along...
Look at that face.
Look at this face, Clark. It's me, Taco. Listen.
So,
here's the thing. We want Barry back. We want to kill this bad guy that wants to kill you. We want our friend Barry. And we'd like some gold. Like a little gold.
For our trouble.
And if it's not such a big deal, it would be great to know what happened to our other friend.
What do you say, Clark?
Gundren.
Clark, what do you say?
I think that we can come to a very agreeable conclusion to this entire misunderstanding. Give me just one moment.
Sure.
He goes over to... Well, it looks like a desk that a bugbear would use. He's a bugbear. And he pulls a sort of a rock out of the wall so that there's like a small hole in the wall. And he says, Yemek, can I see you in my office, please? And he puts the rock back in.
Okay, while we're waiting, before he comes, Clark, just a heads up. He's gonna know something's up when he sees us.
Oh, don't, no, please. Listen, Yemek talks a big game, but he's really as sweet as cherry pie. You have nothing to worry about. Trust me, my friend.
I say we move to either side of the door.
How about if we pretend we're captives? Or dead?
Feign deadness?
Can we feign death?
Yeah, we all lie down. I lie down on the ground.
I'm telling you, this level of chicanery is not...
I'm dead. Okay.
All right. Come on, Taco, stay up.
I do feel like you're embarrassing yourself a little bit, but if you want to lie on the floor and play child games...
Yeah, tell it to my ghost.
Okay. Can I play with your dog?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God, he won't give up on the dog!
Absolutely not. You did throw him in a... listen, I love you guys. You're my oldest...
Taco.
You're my oldest and dearest friends. You threw my dog in a goddamn fire.
yeah, that was a misunderstanding.
Okay, so what are the three of you doing?
All right, let's.
I say we stand to the side of the door.
Yeah, at least stay out of sight. To don't give him a chance.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. We'll stay on the other side of the door, so he doesn't see us as soon as he walks in.
Okay. Yimik walks in with the two other goblins that were in that room with him. They walk into the room. They do not see you as they walk in.
Is Barry with them?
Barry is not with them.
He's back on the stage.
He's back on the stage. But the three
where he belongs.
The three goblins who walk in have their weapons drawn. And Clark goes, "Oh, Yimik, I have heard the most fascinating story about you." And Yimik draws a short bow and fires a round off at Clark.
Wait, hold on. Can I use my protection for Clark?
Yeah, sure. We'll say that. Okay, so you're imposing. The first roll was an 18. The second roll is a 17, which hits his armor class, and he takes 4 points of damage. And Clark reels from that shot and says, "Oh, so it's true." And pulls
oh,
out.
I see how it is.
And pulls out a giant morning star in one hand and a javelin in the other, and looks like he's getting ready for business. We're gonna hop back into initiative. The two goblins that were in the chamber before walk over behind Yimik and align with this seditionist movement. And I believe the last person to go was Taco. So Clark is actually next in the order. He is going to bear down on Yimik with this big morning star and rolls a 19, which hits for 2d8 plus Ooh. 2 damage. That's a 7.
Real glad we charmed that dude.
A 6. 7 plus 6 is 13, plus 2 is 15 piercing damage. He crushes Yimik into the ground. And the other four goblins look a little bit worried about that. And next in the order is Merle.
Is Magnus still at only 2 life points? 2 hit points?
I mean, I've got second wind if I can keep from getting hit. I'm feeling fine. Don't worry about me. Action, action, action.
I don't want you to die. We're trying to make a podcast here.
I'll be fine. Magnus will be fine. Either that or his brother Magnus will show up.
Then how would I proceed if I wanted to leave the cave and go back to Barry Blue Jeans and try to heal him?
You could do that. You'd be splitting up the party.
Don't do that.
You got Clark in here. He's still charmed. And you got four goblins left.
How much longer in Clark's charm?
Each round of combat takes about 6 seconds, so he's
we're fine.
He got plenty of time on that clock.
Sorry, Trav. I'm gonna heal you.
I mean, you shouldn't apologize.
How dare you, you turd?
But here's the thing: do I need to burn another spell slot?
Yeah, your heals are based on your spell slots.
So if I use heal here, does that mean I won't be able to cast anything else?
Do you only have the 2 spell slots?
Yeah.
And yeah, until you take a long rest, you won't be able to cast anything.
All right, well, I'm going to cast Healing Hands.
A 1.
Okay.
I add 5 to it.
So Travis gets 6. Magnus gets 6 hit points back.
Gotcha. Feeling fine.
You feel lightly refreshed. You feel like you just applied some Bengay.
Gotcha.
And then I say triumphantly, "You're welcome."
You didn't like sew an arm back on. You healed him for 6 points of...
I see you healing.
I do appreciate it. Okay, next.
Next in the order, back to the top of the order, is Magnus.
Then I'm going to attack one of the goblins.
Okay.
Wait, can we tell if Yahweh is dead?
He's super dead.
Okay, great.
And by the way, we shouldn't say the sentence out loud, "Yahweh is dead." Just for future reference, we should avoid saying that sentence out loud.
So I would like to roll an intimidation check.
Okay.
And tell the four goblins that are left, their leader is dead. Lay down your weapons.
Okay. What is your intimidation skill?
My intimidation is plus 3. 18.
We'll say you're contesting their wisdom. That's a crit. That is not so successful. No, they are not intimidated. In fact, they're...
Can I still attack?
They look super brave. Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Then I'm just going to swing one-handed battle axe at whoever's closest to me.
Okay. That'd be the
and
one.
It kind of goes like this. Lay down your weapons. No! All right.
okay, that would be the one on the far right there.
18.
Yeah, that's a hit.
1d8 plus 4. 11.
Yeah, he is cleaved.
Cleft.
He is cleft.
Cleaved? Clefted.
He's dead. Yes. He fucking died, okay? I'll buy a thesaurus before we play next time. You killed the goblin. Great job. You get 20 experience points. Is this what you want?
Do I get 20?
No flavor text?
Here's some flavor. You killed him and you didn't even think twice about it. You just did it impulsively. You murdered another gerblin.
You're deeply broken inside.
Great job. Next in the order is the wolf. The wolf is going to charge at the goblin on the far left. 15, which ties their armor class. That's a hit. 2d4 plus 2. That's 4 plus 3, 7, 9. He tackles the goblin on the far left to the ground, and he stops moving. Next in the order is the goblins. There's only two left. That is enough to intimidate them. One of them turns and runs and sort of scurries down that chimney. Another one goes over there and tries to get down that chimney, but he gets stuck along the way, hilariously. that can be it. You got a goblin stuck in a hole. You got Clark there, still charmed. You got a wolf. He is enjoying a delicious meal. And we are out of initiative.
Way to go, team!
Woo. Good work. It was a very unconventional way of tackling that, but I liked it.
You said you liked that.
Yeah, sure.
So,
boy, I wish I hadn't needed to murder them. That was,
Can I search them?
Absolutely. If you want to do that in front of Clark, I think more power to you.
Clark! Let me talk to him. Clark, old buddy. We're going to search them for valuables. Is that cool with you?
I suppose so. It's going to...
Excellent. Thanks, Clark. I appreciate it.
Okay, if you... just go right ahead.
Okay, we do it.
Okay. You find in Yemek's pocket a sack full of golden teeth, and you assume that that's going to be worth a pretty penny, maybe about 30 gold pieces or so.
Do we need to sell it, or can I just put down 30 gold pieces?
You can just put down 30 gold pieces.
All right, split three ways, so...
Clark goes, oh, I forgot. I promised you guys so much money. Let me go...
And there was talk of tea?
Oh, yeah. He gets really excited about that. Do you want... I have so much, and I have a lot to share if it's something you're actually going to...
A cup of oolong would be a delight.
Oh, fantastic.
It would go down real smooth.
Scones? Do you have scones?
Oh, my God, no, I... Oh my God! I don't. It's no, okay. I can run out and get you some.
No, I'm diabetic. I couldn't eat them anyway.
I just feel so terrible.
You just looked like a scone guy. Is all.
He comes back and brings you out the three glasses of the most delicious, most aromatic oolong tea you have ever tasted. It is enough to level all three of you up to level two. Just drinking this incredible tea brings you up to level two.
Great. How much time has passed?
He also... 59 minutes and 59 seconds. No, it's... You're fine. He also drags out a small chest that contains a lot of copper and silver pieces in it, equal to about 25 gold pieces. There's also two potions of healing in there.
Can you make it 24?
24 yeah. gold pieces, okay, two potions of healing. I'm not going to round that up for you. And a jade statuette of a frog with tiny golden orbs for eyes worth about 40 gold pieces.
Nice.
So 64 gold pieces and two potions of healing. The frog statuette is small enough to fit in a pocket or pouch. I'm getting that one straight from the guidebook. Not making that part up.
I'm glad we don't have to lug a 6-foot statue around. Thanks. Thanks, guide.
He says, that's about all there is, guys. I don't feel too bad about that. You just significantly reduced my company's overhead. And he laughs. He has a nice, good laugh about that.
He does, doesn't he?
He has a nice, hearty laugh.
Well, just think, old buddy, just those many fewer Christmas bonuses you'll have to fork up.
Oh, yeah. Recruitment is a real pain in the old hiney, but you know, it's...
Clark, since yes. we're friends here...
Absolutely. Best friends, I would say.
I would say that. What happened
Lovers,
to-
maybe?
Time will tell. What happened to
Gundren?
Gundren,
we actually gave him away.
Gave him away.
Come again?
I guess I can start from the beginning. We were hired. We were contracted to give to collect. Let's say to acquire Gundren. And deliver him to the Black Spider. So that's what we did, and that's where he is at, I imagine.
Okay, what's the Black Spider?
I don't actually know. I've never met him. But I do know, I guess he loves dwarves. I guess he just
does?
I guess he just likes having them. And
where
and,
do you think you can mark on my map here where you left Gundren?
We took him. We actually delivered him to an envoy, to a representative for Mr. Spider here at this cave. So unfortunately, that is not.
Do you have a way of contacting the Black Spider?
The Black Spider typically contacts me. Unfortunately, I do wish I could help you out in this regard, but I do not think there's anything I can do for you.
Okay. You don't have any healing salves or anything, do you? So these potions you already
I
gave
did
us,
just
right?
give you those potions.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, Clark, this has been so great.
I've had a fantastic time, too. I did have to murder my employees, but they were going to murder me, weren't they? You're always right about things, Magnus.
Now, listen, now, before we say goodbye,
yeah.
Let's not leave without making plans to get together again.
Can we have a hug?
No, not with a bugbear. No.
Can one of you guys give me just a quick hug?
I say Magnus.
Magnus.
Yeah.
Sounds like a job for Magnus.
Okay. Really nice
He's always,
Listen,
he loves
if
animals.
There's one thing I know about Magnus.
Okay.
He loves hugs.
Roll your hug die.
Let's turn this bugbear into a hug bear.
And he takes you in his arms and he cradles you. His fur is so much softer than you thought it was going to be.
Aw.
It's amazing. So you share an embrace, you try to disengage,
you begin to hum gently.
He's actually holding you a little bit longer than you probably wanted to be held.
Awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Maybe Magnus needs that.
He starts moving his hand in small, slow circles on the top of your back.
Okay, listen, we've got to be going.
Look
this is
at the
good,
time.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you the two of you, are you sure you don't want a piece of this action also?
Next time, for sure.
Time is running short. You are starting to think on this spell, and maybe it's time to head out.
All right, here we go.
We want to at least think about murdering Clark?
No, we're not going to murder Clark.
Not at all.
He's our buddy.
We need to go get Barry Blue Jeans.
Now, let me have a discussion with you guys. Can we leave the room first?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So long, friends.
Goodbye, Clark.
Goodbye, Clark.
Should we...
God, that was creepy.
...use one of our healing potions on Barry? And so it's like not dead weight?
Yeah.
Well, why do that? Why don't I just heal him?
You don't have any charges left.
Well, that's right.
You should choose spell slots.
Okay, well, let's get back in the room first, because we left him alone with
those
dudes.
Yeah, let's go check on him.
I say we carry him out if we need to.
Well, let's get in there. Is he okay, Griffin?
He is. He's lying where he was left by Yemek.
Well, can we?
And I want to check the crate that Yemek was going through.
Okay. There is mostly it is some very rough leather armor, some clothing, some letters. You believe that these are probably Barry Blue Jeans' possessions.
Oh, right on. Okay.
So you guys slap Barry around a little bit. He comes to. He is in horrible shape, but he's not unconscious.
What if he's a douche?
Like he needs to exercise more and eat better.
He is a little bit overweight. Is that what you wanted to hear me say?
I do. I do want to know that Barry's a little chubster.
He is a solidly put together man in his, you'd estimate in his 50s. So he's basically got one foot in the grave, age-wise.
Okay, is he conscious?
He is conscious, and he is very, very grateful to be alive. Although he is, again, I can't stress this enough, he's real fucked up.
Okay, listen, I want to go ahead and give this guy a healing potion. This is silly.
Okay.
I heal it. You give him a healing potion.
He guzzles it down, and he says, this is wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, you kind soul. I will never, ever forget this kindness you've done for me. My name is Barry J. Blue Jeans. and I'm ready to kick some goblin ass. Where did they go?
Listen, all the asses have been kicked, dear Barry.
You didn't leave me one ass.
No, we do there, have
there's some stuff out in the weeds if you're really interested in it.
We have your clothes.
I will take those, yes. These are my favorite clothes. My name's Barry J. Blue Jeans.
Ironically, they are blue jeans. So.
Yeah, well, yeah. No shit. How you think? Why you think they call me that?
Yeah,
think
that's he is a douche.
You think that's such a family name?
Barry's a douche.
Oh, guys, thank you so much. And again, that healing potion. So great. So smart. Definitely the right move to make.
Let's get out of here.
Wait.
Well, what do you know about this black spider?
Hold on. Where are we right now?
You are still in the cave.
Okay.
Are we in the auditorium room with the stage?
Yeah. We need to truck it out of the cave because Clark's going to wake up soon and he's going to remember what happened and I don't want to be here when that happens.
Okay. All right. Barry Blue Jeans is amenable to that. He's like, yeah, let's get the hell out of this cave. I'm not a big fan of this cave. My name's Barry Blue Jeans.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.